Ay, ay, ay. Hold on a second. What's so funny, Jay?
You tried so hard.
What are you talking about there, Jay?
So far, but in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Yo, I'ma fuck this bitch, I'ma fuck that bitch. What's up? It's Dinokara's digital radio show getting off to a unexpected start with a free instrumental moment that wasn't even recorded. It is 8:11 p.m. on the West Coast on April 19th, 2006. It is Wednesday evening, folks. I'm E.
And I'm the J, and it's 11:11 p.m. here on the East Coast.
Fantastic. So, what's going on, folks? I think you have a problem, Jay and Dale Jason, dude face, dude guy, person, friend.
Have a problem?
Yeah, your problem is that your collection of comedy was 38 megabytes last night, and thanks to 4chan and II or E or 2chan, or I guess E-chan, and E-chan, it is now 30. Plus 1 megabyte. What's up with that? I think you have an obsession with women.
Well, yeah, I do, but like it's not exactly all comedy, so like you know.
Oh right, and by the it's code. It means
one.
Yeah, damn. Well, the secret's out. So yes, Jason has a folder filled with sexy, beautiful women. And many of them are Japanese, am I right? What?
The majority definitely is. The majority definitely is.
You frickin' hypocrite.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm given, so, like, I go with what I got.
You have a problem? I mean, come on, what's with these... Why do you like Japanese chicks? They have no ass. Right? Or boobs, right?
Hi!
Hmm? Where the hell are you? I can't hear you.
That's the
Razor?
It sucks.
Oh, the Razor sucks now. That's why you bought it. And that's why I bought it.
Well, I didn't buy it.
That's why you own it.
Yeah.
Why does the Moto Razor suck?
It does. I mean, like, number one, every once in a while, they'll just, like, give up on you. And you'll experience that soon with the more use you put into it. Number two, the speakerphone isn't exactly the best. It's probably made the hotel now. I don't know, it's just, like, after a while it gets uncomfortable in your hand because it's, like, it's not hand-friendly, like, when you're holding it
right.
For a long period of time. Just I try to use the hands-free device a lot because, like, it's more comfortable that way.
Yeah, and you don't really have much of a place to, I mean, the earpiece is, like, this thing that's like a slim line, so you could drive an F0X machine through it, ROR. But the sound chip is very nice because I put in some MIDIs in here last night and they sound great.
The MIDIs, yeah. But did you try MP3 yet?
Yes, I did. I got Contra.
All right.
I got Contra and Galgeiger. So when you know, I haven't applied it to anybody calling, but you know how I like to throw in my MIDIs and just play them. So this is not only a phone, it is a camera, a video camera, a phone, an address book, a phone, and a MIDI player. And I think it's pretty sweet that I can play it and I can just close the close the phone and just set it aside and just do my thing, draw or whatever, and listen to my music. I got Dream Theater's A Change of Seasons MIDI, and that song is 23 minutes long. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. And
as far as MP3s, though, what quality do you have it on? Because, like...
Actually, they do it... It's done automatically, I guess. Like, you'll show up your MP3. In this case, we'll talk about Contra here. I put in, I opened up... Shattered Soldier Stage 5. Or something like that. And, no, not even. I opened up the Contra medley from the Contra 3 Alien Wars soundtrack. And the Contra medley consists of the famous first stage tune and the, I think, the last stage tune. But I cut it so it's just the first stage tune. So when it's encoded into the phone, they are automatically encoded into an MP3 at 32K per second. And the original sound clip was in stereo, so I'm having to, I'll just have to assume that when they encode it for the phone, they make it mono, because there's no point in having a stereo,
They don't make it mono.
What?
They don't make it mono. All the time.
Well...
Remember the time when I told you, look at the ringtones that I got, I would send you the sound clip, and then you were like, you know, why do you have it on stereo? That's when the program sees it.
Oh, really? That's weird, because, I mean, there's no stereo cell... There, not only is there no stereo cell phone in existence, there's no use for one. Unless you want to get run over by the largest truck in the world, like that chick on the bike almost did the other day when I was walking down Shattuck Avenue. And saw a chick on her bicycle talking on the phone. And the phone was to her left ear, so that sort of blocked out some of the sound from the traffic beside her. And then the largest truck in the world.
That's weird, because if I'm going to get really technical now, your right ear is what picks up all the finer tuned sounds. So, like, she kind of did herself a favor, so she's probably just, like, deaf. Or she was really into that conversation.
Where do you get this information for? You say my right ear hears better than my left ear does?
Yes.
Well, you got a problem with my... You got a problem with left-sided people?
No, even if you're left-handed, your right ear always hears finer things better. If you could you concentrate with your right ear.
You didn't get this on Wikipedia, did you?
No. I read this somewhere through one of my many websites and shit.
Hmm. Well, speaking of websites, I noticed something happened with room 149.com. Am I right there?
Yeah.
Noah's org.
I'll tell you the story.
All right, but before you tell me the story, though, the other day I actually put up the last one that we did, the last DDR that we had done of it, DDRS, rather, that we did. I put that up a couple days ago, and at the time that show was being done, which was the end of March last month, your site was still a work in progress. I mean, it was still coming up. So, it premiered very recently, and went along pretty nicely. However, all of a sudden, I'm roused from my sleep. You tell me, hey, I have a revelation, I have epiphany. And I'm like, okay. And then I go to your website, and all I see is the Berrigan's Chambers folder. And I'm sure there is an interesting story behind that.
There is. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I was walking down the street, right?
Uh-oh.
And I ran into Sloga. And he was like, yo. And I was like, hey, what's going on, man? I haven't seen you in a while. And he was like, listen, I saw your site the other day. I thought you gave me a pretty cool dedication thing. It wasn't long, but it was sort of like heartfelt. And I was like, yeah, you know, I miss working on the site. You know, I miss working with you and all the peoples and all that stuff. The Sloga was like, listen, guy, put it back up. Around, just put it back up. And I was like, what do you mean? It's up. He's like, you know what I mean. And I was like, just go back to work on the thing, you know? He's like, it's done. It's like, and not only that, but I quit on it twice. This is like, you know, I can't just go back. If I quit on it a third time, it's like, oh, this guy's unreliable, you know? He's like, I'm going to tell you one thing and one thing only. Put that shit up, motherfucker. And so I was like, oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old was Sloga in this?
Is that, like, a curse to you? But, like, you know he's cool. Like, he's not really gonna, like, kick your ass. Well, he knows his role, though, because, like, he fucks with me, you know, I can do that.
Wow.
Be of his bony feet. But anyway.
I'm glad we're on satellite radio.
Yeah. But anyway, so I went home, then I did some thinking.
And this
like, man, forget Sloga. But then, I was in the shower that morning. I think it was morning, or the time I woke up. I was showering, and I was like, you know what? I had fun doing that website, though. You know, working with Smallra, and Guyvon, and Venus Mead, and you, and Sam, hey. And all that shit. I was like, well, it was fun. So, I think that's what I'm gonna do. Besides, Room 149 was so broad, but it was like, it didn't feel organized. It didn't have
Hmm.
So it was like...
Hint.
Couldn't really go with it, you know? So basically I went with Very Good Shavers, because that's... I worked on it before, I did it before, and I had fun with it. So back up, it's going... It's not going strong, but I mean, like, I'm getting a lot of hits, actually.
Yeah.
I think last time I checked, which was earlier, was 75 hits.
Mm. And that was only in the last day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally about like 24 hours now, maybe. Maybe a little less.
Which is interesting, because last time I was checking out, I was looking at my own pitiful stats, and I was like it said, yesterday you got 15 hits. I mean, you know, whatever that means, like page loads or uniques or, you know. My side stats are pretty pitiful. But I don't really care, because, I mean, what's there speaks for itself. But enough about me. Okay, I said hint before because you said that everything was miscellaneous, and your site was like a big miscellaneous section. And on Bergen's Chambers, for a long time, you've had a miscellaneous section there, but it was originally dedicated to something like a petition to make a Konami fighting game with Castlevania and other characters, and also some other stuff, and this thing called JSoft, which is like what Room 149, that's what you were trying to do, like make your site of your stuff. So you were telling me that you would be putting all that stuff, like freestyle typings and your articles, under that section of the site?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what I'm putting there. I mean, I'm definitely going to put the freestyle lines, because those things are, like, hilarious.
Yeah.
Probably some of my rants, I don't know. Because, like, I just depends, because like, I don't want to get like, too random, but then again, I could, because, like, sort of, like, it is a miscellaneous. So, I don't know.
Mm.
But definitely, it's definitely going to be the freestyle writings, for sure.
Alright. So, what can you tell me about improvements, updates, whatnot, additions to Berrigan's Chambers in 2006? You mean
back when I had Very Good Shavers, in like 2002, 2001, I was actually not an avid.
You're a passive.
But I was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I was getting fan service. You know, I was getting like slowly says, like I was getting, you know, things for that.
Yeah, J.I. lost.
And people were contributing because I was like showing my face, so I have to redo that again in order to get that. Yeah. Slowly says it's like fun because it's like completely random.
Hell yeah, I like how I have a freaking video game dinosaur telling me that I can't bang Babs Bunny and anime characters.
Nope.
Meanwhile, your folder grows daily with pictures of real and unreal chicks. Freaking hypocrite.
What are you talking about me? You handle that with Soggy, alright?
Right. By the way, whatever happened, I mean to ask him, what's going on with Slog and Venusweed? What's up with that?
I can't speak for him, you know.
What do you know?
What?
What do you know? Didn't he tell you?
Of course, me and him.
I mean, did you ask?
What?
Did you ask him about that? Like, are they still together?
Well, I mentioned it to him when he stopped mentioning, you know, Venusweed, because, like, it was pure all of a sudden. Once he went on his Power Videos shit and all that stuff, like, you know, like I'm shooting for Power Videos, I can't talk now, blah, blah, blah. You know? So, you know, when I got on the set of Power Videos, you know, after we spoke and whatnot, I was like, Spoke, he's like, you know, what is Venus? We haven't seen it in a long time. He's like, you know, it's over with there. I was like, what are you talking about?
That's harsh. I mean, like, I was working with him the other day. On the set of Paravedis Continue, but I don't usually try to, you know, get into his personal business. I just like to, you know, direct him and make him do, you know, cool shit, because I work well with him. But I don't try to get too deep, because I don't want to, you know, trigger something, you know what I'm saying? So I guess I'm sort of to blame with the whole Pure and Slog thing, because I guess...
Well, no, you're not really. I mean, because everybody, you see actors out there, you know, they're always with a new person. You always imagine a new person in a different movie or whatever.
Vince Vaughn and Jenny Aniston.
Well,
who are ironically in a movie about a breakup. Are together now.
You don't have to fall, you don't really need to fall in love with what you're acting as, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but when you, but you said that he talked about nothing, no one but pure.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, I don't know, I do know, but I don't think I should just, like, throw it out, you know?
You afraid of catching heat?
It's very please. I'll take him on any day of the week.
Oh, really? Look at you, Captain Falcon. What, you think he listens to the Dinocar Residual Radio Show?
I'm sure he does.
Well, peace to my Nibba Slaws. My man Sluggy Claws. Now, we realize, after you made Berrigan's Chambers, and after you brought it back, or rather, before you brought it back, we realized that, actually, death is who you really are a fan of, because you got all the you like the death, because it's just a cool, effing cool looking guy. And I must say that my favorite performance of his, I like his intro in Super Castlevania 4, but in Castlevania Dracula X and Rondo of Blood for the PC Engine, he goes at you with hand to hand combat, is like up in your face, like, yo, slash slash slash, I'ma kick some ass. So, are you going to say, do like some sort of tribute to that guy too on Berrigan's Chambers?
Yeah, see, the cool thing about doing Berrigan's Chambers, I mean, number one, I decided to make the site pretty much, you know, after, you know, way back when we decided, like, I want to make a site, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, hey, that's like 2001,
you know? 2001. Yeah, so I was like, you know what, sure, I'll do that and stuff, but the cool thing is, although I have worked directly with Slugger because it's about him, and, you know, it's shit. I do get free reign for the most part.
Quite.
So, I'm gonna hook up with Death. Hopefully you won't touch me, because then you won't hear from me anymore. But I will talk to him and see, like, you know, what goes down and whatnot. You know, I'm gonna get at him.
Alrighty. Cool.
So, can't really talk much, but I'm hoping to work with
him. Alright, well, I'm sure we fans of Death will look forward to it. I was at the supermarket, I was at Safeway, and I was reading a Nintendo Power, and somebody had a letter to Nintendo Power. It said, I love Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow. Have you been playing that or not?
I'm up to level 50 now.
Oh, great. You're doing the, he's doing the level up thing, folks. I love Dawn of Sorrow, but here's what bothers me. When you fight Death, you can actually kill him. How is that physically possible? You can't kill Death. My answer to that is, oi.
See,
here's how I put it though. Like when Death is defeated, he doesn't like die or live. He just gets sent away. Like what happens in Area of Sorrow, he just gets sucked into the portal. Like he doesn't really die. He disappears. In Castlevania 3's case, He fades away, and this giant Puexil-like thing takes his place, and it's all fun and games, until somebody gets hurt.
Well, not only that, but, like, see, they take it to, I hate these people that, like,
uh-oh,
absorb into something where it's, like,
uh-oh,
it's real. No, buddy, it's not real. You can't go outside, press triangle, and get into your car. You
know, like some people do.
Are basically movies that you control, you know, like,
exactly, like when Slugger on Berrigan's Chambers in that interview, he said that he doesn't die, he just has special effects, and he disappears.
Oh, I mean, like, you know, he's an actor, he's getting paid to do it.
Exactly,
right?
That's why, you know, he took that big bonus to be the first master and be a chump.
Yeah. You know, like, he still talks about that shit, too.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta find out what the deal is, because he was in Area, he's in Dawn of Sorrow as an enemy, and then this turtle thing comes in for the new 3D one that looks like a freaking, you know, like a freaking ridiculous terrapin, and they call that Slugger, so we gotta find out some stuff about that. I'd like to know the answers to that.
Yeah, I mean, I do know the answers, but, Unfortunately, like, there's a problem, like, with, you know, actors and whatnot. They get caught into, like, fine print. Apparently he made a stupid move and signed some stuff without reading everything. So, like, you know, he's making his money. He's gotta have that. And then, you know, the power of idiot thing and the other side shit. But, you know, it's, he has to be degraded until, like, his contract's up.
He has to be degraded. So wait, was there some clause in his contract that he couldn't be in the second 3D Castlevania, and instead they had to use some turtle instead as a stand-in?
Well,
they had him wear a turtle costume.
Tongue-tied. But went on. Basically, was at first he was there.
Okay.
He got a little pissed off. So what they did was they, you know, went back, took out their erasers, and rewrit some shit. And, basically what they wanted to do is, like, make Slugger look younger. But, I guess they want to, like, take it towards the fact that Slugger is not exactly, a dinosaur per se. He's more like a you know, a tortoise. Like, you know, he's also part turtle. He's not just pterodactyl or pteranodon or this or that, you know?
The retcon clause.
So, like, unfortunately, he kind of, his temper got, you know, screwed him over.
Wait, so
That's Slugger, yes. But,
that is it? That's him?
Yeah, but, like, you know, Photoshop is wonders.
Well, I thought he looked youthful in Symphony of the Night. I had talked to somebody who said that the Castlevania 4 and Symphony of the Night Sluggers are graphically identical. As you can see by the smooth green skin of the Symphony version and versus the mottled brown textures of the Super Castlevania 4 version, they're exactly the same. Not... but he looks nicer and a bit more alive in Symphony of the Night. I would have thought that when they brought him back, they wouldn't make him all fucked up like a turtle. But I'm sad to see. It's a sad thing to see. To see happening. I'll just ignore it and maybe it'll go away. And I played the game. I don't know if I mentioned this last episode, but I did get a chance to play the game, and I'm glad I don't own it.
I'm also proud of the fact that, like, I've played only one 3D Castlevania game. It was for the N64, and it was for a brief period of time. So, like, my Castlevania experience is still side-scroller.
Yeah, side-scroller's the deal. But I had fun with CV64, actually, new CV. I had fun using the Game Shark to have Reinhardt rocket into the horizon uncontrollably. It's just with new CV, I just couldn't get the whole pick up the dynamite and do everything in your power to go to this point, but don't get hit or don't jump. Otherwise, you will blow up. And even so, that being the conditions, it was still pretty fun to do. To blow yourself up. You're like, oh, my name is Reinhard Schneider. I am going to... No. He's All right, folks. So that is the skinny on what Dean Dale is doing on his for Bergen's Chambers and Room 149. So I want to say a shout out to my man, the B Man, who runs www.icecrew.us. He's doing his stuff with his Frash, with his iSpot and friends. So, what's up to him, live on the Dynacast Digital Radio. So, I'd like to mention briefly Akibake Girls. I had an opportunity to purchase this this anime based on the hentai game, Akibake Kanojo, which, if you may recall, features this chick who gets dressed up as a blue pure. And when I learned that they had an animation version of this, I was like, yay, holy crap, I wish I could have it. So, flash forward some months, and all of a sudden, whoa, gotta get rid of that. Go away, picture! Damn screenshot. Save it. Anyway. They actually had this show. It was Larry Flint Presents Akiba, wait, what? Akiba Girls, I think it was called. If not Akibake. And Larry Flint is presenting this, and as you know, he is like a pornography tycoon. And on the bottom it says, no, not even, the title of the movie was Akibake Girls 60 Minutes. And on the bottom was a little blurb saying, the best 30 animation ever. Which means to say that it is the best, it's an anime that looks like Disney. Or a Hayao Miyazaki film. Which I find hard to believe. And I'm wondering why it says it's the best 30 movie. You know, I mean, they have like three Roman numerals for 10 there. It's the best 30 animated anime movie of this subject matter of all time. La 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 la. So I was standing there pondering. Like, I really would like this. However, I would like Macross Volume 1 and 2 on DVD. But I'm not getting that. This anime costs $30. Costs $30, though. And that's kind of high. I could probably get that at Suncoast for $20 or less. So, eventually, I quietly put it away. So, one day, I'll eventually get it. But I would really want that movie. But I'm not willing to pay so much money for it. I'll pay so much money for Kao no Night Suki. Or the disaster of a title, Moonlight Lady, because you know me and Ski Ski Ski. Since 2001, I've always been wanting to see this show and anything related to it because it's just an awesome looking deal, and I got it eventually. But Akibake Kanojo, sorry, I'll have to wait until I have that kind of money to burn, or you are less expensive. All right. So for our final section. Part 1 of the Paravadius story. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Yeah, so you mentioned before about Slogra on the set of Paravadius Continue. I was like, And I tried just not to. I just make him move around. So, folks, here we go. Why am I unveiling everything about the Paravadius storyline to you? Is because you'll be aware of it. And also, I just want to let it be known. I'm not whoring anything or anything. I just am explaining the story.
Yeah, okay.
F you!
You know, since Paravadius, the movie, before it became a trilogy, you're like, no, I'm not whoring anything. No whoring.
What do you mean a trilogy?
It's a three-part series.
What are you talking about there?
I'm talking about Paravadius, the first one. Like, just Paravadius.
Okay.
Like, you've always been saying, like, I'm not hoarding anything. I'm not going to hoard this. I'm not going to hoard it. Like, you're hoarding it.
But hell yeah. Hell yeah, I hoard Paravadius. That's why it went away. That's why I failed it.
But you're hoarding this now, too.
If I want to explain what goes on with this, how am I, like, forcing people to watch it?
You don't have to get this shit. You're not about whoring it. You know, I don't have STDs. And that makes people wonder.
What?
Let you know.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying. I'm not using an example, that's all. When you say I'm not doing something, but you put it out there and nobody really asked, these people start to think.
Alright, well, prepare for this. When Mamoru Nagano began the 5-star stories about 20 years ago, in his first issue, Tankobon, which is the collected works, because it was a serial comic, he listed the entire timeline of the story. From when the story began in the year JC, I think, 3000, to the end of the universe in the year 7777. He listed everything that happened from the beginning of the story to the end of the story in the first volume of the released serials.
Well, you know, some people whore.
But he wasn't saying, oh, I'm going to do that. He was just telling the story. Am I doing something different in explaining half of the timeline of Paravadius to the audience here?
Well,
Then why you give me shit when I say I'm not whoring?
Because I like a butt chop. Fuck.
Ah! Garoha. This African American named Jason. Alright, folks, let's just get on with this shit. Killed my buzz. Alright, so after Paravadius, I was working on a number of projects like Castlevadius, Shin Paravania, and all this other stuff, trying to get it right. And finally, in 2003, I settled on Nemesis, Nightmare from Our Side, a story where Slogra and Gaibon join their forces to defeat the Skull Knight Kaiser, who is Red Falcon from Contra 3, who gobbled up the Skull Knight, the Ultra Skull Knight version from Hardcore, from Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance. So they have to go out, combine their power, and defeat their friend. And it's sort of a... It was planned as a very sweet thing. So, as a result of the strength of this story, I decided to call this series the Nemesis series, rather than the Parvadius series. And the Nemesis series consisted of a number of stories. And these included Nemesis, Nightmare from Our Side, now known as Nemesis Nightmare, Nemesis Special Edition, Parvadius Parts 1 through Unknown at the time, Nemesis Special Edition, Shin Paravania, which was going to be about, like, how Treasure versus Konami, because Treasure is a company that branched out, that left Konami, a group of people who left Konami to begin their own company. So they go back to Konami to kick their ass and say, ha ha ha, we told you so. And Nemesis Castlevadius, which is a novelization of the story of Paravadius. So then, in March 2000, I was working on Paravadius the revival of Paravadius, and I decided I'd write down the chapters. Chapter 1 would be Paravadius Reset, Chapter 2 would be Paravadius Hardcore, and Chapter 3 would be Paravadius Final Battle. And Hardcore is not spelled as C-O-R-P-S, as in Contra Hardcore. This is Hardcore. It's the stream! And everything's murder. Okay. And since that time, since Revival of Paravadius became Paravadius Reset, and I listed the separate chapters, and I must mention I was playing the Slogaibon Debo from Whip It, and Slogaibon is really hard to defeat, and it's too bad that game never made it out alive. I decided to extend it even more, so at the time of this broadcast, where you've never heard Paravadius many times in 3 minutes, heard the word Paravadius, this story consists of, let me count here. Well, 5 parts so far. So far, we've got Paravadius Start, Paravadius Reset, Paravadius Continue, and 2 others, which will be explained in the next show. So here we go. In case you're wondering about everything and everything and everything about Paravadius. You junkies out there. One of you. Anyway. So I'm going to tell you what happens, okay?
Okay,
brace yourself, all right? All right. So here's what happens. Wait a second. Am I supposed to go up to continue here? I thought I was just... All right, whatever. All right. In Paravadius Start, we get to see what happens just before the terrorist attacks in Konami World in Paravadius Reset. Capcom Times reports that the Capcom World celebrations are underway. Not long ago, Capcom World had teamed up with Marvel Superhero Land World, whatever that is, to defeat the evil Onslaught in Marvel vs. Capcom, one of the best arcade games I've ever played. However, something goes wrong. And Maya Kaisa appears, and she attacks Castle Prinprin, is what I called it in Super Ghouls and Ghosts. She attacks the castle of Capcom World, well, one of them, anyway. And what happened was Capcom World was given War Machine's Positron Rifle, or Positron Cannon, and they made it into a big space station, a ship, a satellite. And they're going to use this station to travel to Konami World and make peace. And hopefully, you know, make some really good products and services for you. But that was not to be.
Yeah.
Maya Kaisa attacks and steals a satellite. And there you go, heads to Konami World. what happens during this this disturbance is that Maia Kaisa breaks into the castle, and Knight Arthur, as well as Astaroth, who is one of the last masters in Super Ghouls and Ghosts, they try to fight her off, but they cannot survive make their time. And so, Maia Kaisa steals the ship, known as Peacemaker, and is off. Now, during the firefight with Maia Kaisa, Firebrand appears and tries to get in some shots, but he gets knocked out. So eventually, he catches up to the Peacemaker as it's leaving the atmosphere and stows away. And that brings us to what we've seen in recent history, Paravadius Reset. And this, as you know, we got Maia Kaisa attacking Konami World City by sending one of the small ships I've named Buster, one of the fishy mechanical blimps, into the city, killing millions, and it's very sad. So Princess Melora reports this disaster, and then Maia Kaisa breaks in and broadcasts her threats to Konami World, and Princess Melora's power gives Slogra and Gaibon the power to become the ultimate weapon. Slog encounters Pure. Pure makes Slogaibon 32-bit, and he leaves the castle, and Pure is abducted. Not that Slogaibon knows this, because once the castle's destroyed, Slogaibon thinks she's still in there, and he's like, oh boy, I'm going to boop you up. So it goes to boop up Maia Kaisa. And that brings us to the next chapter, Paravadius. Continue. Yeah, as you notice, these are all game functions. So, here's Paravadius Continue in a few phrases, as I wrote them down here on this notepad file. Slogaibon chases after Maia Kaisa. Maia Kaisa chases after Slogaibon. Slogaibon makes it to the Peacemaker and fails to destroy it, and as a result, is made out to be the enemy. So, a character who is named Candy Summer tricks Konami World into believing that Slogaibon, not Maia Kaisa, is the true foe. And she wants to go after him. So she convinces the citizens of Konami World, who are penguins in this case, to build these weapons, and they are sword ships. And we're going Thunder Force V on this one. So, she also has under her, Wow, I almost gave that part out before I was giving it out. So, meanwhile, while they're building all the sword ships, Candy's Summer goes down, and it reveals herself to really be Maia Kaisa. Wow, that was such a surprise. And she's got Brownie, Twin B, Pentaro, and Vic Viper at her disposal. They are the Controdius Force. And she tells them, this is where Slogaibon is, go get him. So Slogaibon meets the Controdius Force, and he thinks they're cool until they shoot him down. So, Slogaibon is destroyed, Slogra and Gaibon are split apart again, and they encounter Firebrand, who explains that he's here to take that thing back, the Peacemaker. So, all of a sudden, they're ambushed again by the Controdius Force, and they escape to the Research Center, a la Contra Hardcore. And that brings us to the next chapters, which will be explained in more detail later. Gasp and gasp some more.
Oh, shit, son.
I'm glad I've had a chance to spam my plans for everyone. Shit. And let me explain one more thing before we go. Princess Melora in Twin B. Her outcry, her message, rather, to the universe is as follows. Since I just got this translated the other day. This is Princess Melora from the planet Mel. Let me restart that. Let me F up Melora's introduction in Twin B. There you go. That's what I should have said. Anyway, basically, Princess Melora is the Grand Queen of Planet Mel, and the planet Eba is attacking her. So if you do not rush to help, she and her world will be destroyed. It's all about murder and destruction and destroying this in the Twin B world. Yikes.
Bad times in Princess Marvel.
So what do you think about that for start and continue?
Well, being is how really like the fifth time you hoard it to me.
Yeah.
I don't know, what else can I say? That was good. I mean, I've been on the set many times. Anyway, I've seen where things are going. It looks good. I've been injured twice. So, you know.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, well. This next time when the thing hits the tower, tell me to move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, bastard. Anyway, so, yeah. I know, it looks good. I mean, yeah, hopefully I'll get a shot one day where I get to be in the show just once.
Well, don't worry. We need a voice for a faceless character, so you just stay tuned.
A faceless character? Why would it be faceless?
Well, you never see this character. He's inside the plane.
Great.
The air police. Right. Well, anyway, I'll get Jason a thesaurus so he can look up better words to describe his positive feeling towards anything I do. Lols. And we'll see you next time. I'm E.
And I'm J.
And remember, Control S. Later.